Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know, when it's around tax time or when you're thinking about taxes, one of the important topics that often people discuss or they think about is how they should plan on putting money aside all year long for their taxes. You know, are they withholding enough? Well, I have a special guest, and she's very special because she's been on my program, I think, four times now. Gail Cunningham is Vice President of Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. NFCC.org is a website, and our topic today is making the case against receiving a federal income tax refund. Welcome, Gail, to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad that I'm not in a position where people can throw rotten tomatoes at me, because those folks who are receiving an income tax refund are very excited over it.
Oh, and it's always fun to get money in the mail. And I know everyone, of course, would rather get a refund than have to owe money. But there are some things there that we need to think through. Now, before we get into our topic, let's do a quick background. Gail started her career in counseling sector in 1987. She has provided one-on-one financial counseling to thousands of consumers, and she reaches tens of thousands of people through TV and other educational resources. She has been interviewed by just about everybody on the planet that means something. NBC Nightly News, Good Morning America, The New York Times, Washington Post, CNN. The list goes on, and we are very fortunate to have her here on Little Old Real Money with David Holland.
Well, you're up there at the top of my list, so I'm just delighted to visit with you and your audience on important topics, which we do every few months.
Absolutely. So there's a recent poll out, Gail, and I want to get your read on this. 58% of people intentionally plan to have an income tax refund.
How about that?
What do you think of that? You think that's a good idea? You think it's, you know, I mean, I'd rather... You know, I guess I would rather maybe they owe me $5 or I owe them $5, and that's good. But if it's something that somebody's doing it almost as a way of, I don't know, almost like a forced savings, like a Christmas fund kind of thing, is that a good idea?
Well, not in my eyes.
Okay.
In their
okay.
eyes, they're going to be very excited. In recent years, the average refund has been around $3,000. I recently saw something that's anticipated to be above $2,800 this year, but let's make it a round number and call it $3,000, which that breaks down to about $250 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what people don't understand, is that they're simply giving their money, their hard-earned money,
yeah,
to Uncle Sam each and every paycheck. They're giving him too much. Now, if we were in a room of people and said, okay, now raise your hand if you want to give Uncle Sam more money than you have to, no, I'm going to say no hands would go up. But instead, people intentionally plan to do so by receiving an income tax refund. And you're right. They will argue with me and with you that it is forced savings, that they can't manage to save any other way. And they'll say, you know, that when I get this big income tax refund, I'm going to be very responsible with the use of that money. Really?
Well, then that's my next question. Yeah, you've already beat me to it, Gail. My next question then is there any research or statistical information that indicates what people do, or is there some anecdotal experiences you can share of what happens? I mean, does it really end up becoming part of their savings?
Well, that's really scary that you and I are on the same wavelength so much that we have the same next question. But anecdotally, I would tell you that consumers are very well-intentioned. Through the years, I've never met anybody who intentionally dug a deep financial hole. No one intends to do that.
Sure.
And no one intends to fritter away $3,000 when it comes in the mail to them. And I'm going to suggest, though, that if a person is not disciplined enough to responsibly manage $250 each and every month, then what is to make us think they will responsibly manage a lump sum amount of $3,000?
Mm.
It just doesn't add up.
You make a good point, Gail. What I, of course, would love to see is that $3,000 or whatever it is be used to create an emergency fund if they don't already have one. And if they do, then of course we can look at other things. But, you know, there are lots of statistics out there about, you know, how many paychecks people are away from financial ruin, that if they miss a paycheck or two or three, that they are, it's all over.
Oh, you're exactly right. People live on the precipice of financial disaster. And these folks who are there on the edge live each and every month in fear of having their car repossessed, in fear of not being able to make their rent payment, of having their utilities cut off, and $250 extra dollars each and every month in their hands instead of the government's hands can be the difference between financial stability and financial distress for their family. Why self-inflict pain, financial pain, month after month after month when you don't have to? There's an easy solution.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about those solutions. Gail Cunningham is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's Vice President of Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Gail Cunningham has joined me from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And I tell you, one thing I want to make sure people understand, Gail, because you and I both, I'm sure, are on the same page about this also. We're not judging people. We're not telling them that they are dumb, but maybe there's a better way to, you know, work with their money. And I have people come in, and sometimes they come in and they, this will, I know it won't surprise you because you're experienced, but it might surprise some of my listeners, is that I have people come in here that have hundreds of thousands of dollars and they are stressed to the gills. And they don't know
totally
what to do. They have debt. They have credit card debt. They have made some bad choices or uninformed choices. So there's no, we're not talking from the top of some mountain here down to people. I want to inspire people with hope that they can turn things around and make improvements. I just met with a woman the other day, Gail, that she was just beside herself. She's got assets, but she doesn't know how to handle the debt and how to get out of it. And she, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is, I'll take a bunch of money out of my 401k. And I'm like, stop, don't. You're going to pay all these taxes. And you know, so what the message here, ladies and gentlemen, is a message of hope and making smart decisions. So that's what we're getting at about this refund.
Well, you're absolutely right. And in our survey, we also saw that 13% of respondents said, well, I've never thought about this. And so those people are just kind of floating along. And when I say that it's easy to adjust, and you are so right, no one wants to end up owing Uncle Sam. So we want it just right. And to do that, all you have to do is have the correct number of withholding allowances.
That's
on
right.
Your W-4. Now, a lot of people think they can only change their W-4 once a year. That's not correct. You can change it anytime. And as a matter of fact, you should change it anytime there's a change in your status, such as you get married, you have a child, someone dies, you get divorced, things such as that. Simply change your W-4, take it to your HR department at work, and that adjusts your withholding allowances, which determines how much money is taken out of your paycheck for the government. Now, how do you determine the proper amount? Go to irs.gov, and up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the search box, and type in withholding calculator.
There you go.
A worksheet comes up, you answer some questions, and it'll tell you exactly how many withholding allowances is proper for your situation.
That's pretty straightforward, Gail. Well, and all over on the folks that are not working, where they don't have the W-4 and they don't have the HR department, but they are retired, and a lot of our listeners are retired, what they do is they work with their tax preparer, or they can do this themselves as well, but they work to make sure that they are having enough money that they are sending in on their quarterly payments that they make to the IRS, and it's the same kind of process of making sure you're paying enough in throughout the year, but not too much.
That's right.
And they can do the same thing if they're taking money out of an annuity or out of an IRA to make sure they're happy. They can adjust that. We've had clients say, "I didn't know I could adjust that." Yeah, if we're taking, you know, 20% out of your IRA payment each month, you're taking money out of your IRA each month, and you're taking 20% withheld. We do their tax return. and we figure out, well, they only need to really have maybe 11 or 15 or 12% taken out, that can be adjusted.
And it's to the individual's benefit to get it right, because as you referenced earlier, so many people don't have any savings. The Financial Literacy Survey, which the NFCC just hot off the press for 2013, showed an astounding number. I'm doing this from memory, so don't hold me exactly to it, but you're going to get the idea that 30% of Americans have zero non-retirement savings, and a similar number have no retirement savings. So people are on a very slippery slope, not if the next emergency comes along, but when. And I like people to divide their savings into two groups. One is that emergency rainy day savings. In our survey, we ask consumers, what's your top financial concern? What worries you the most? By, I'm going to say, a 2-to-1 margin, people answered that it was savings, lack of savings. And if when we dug inside of that, pretty evenly split, but coming out nonetheless on top, was a concern over rainy day savings. They're worried about what might happen today that I can't pay for, as opposed to planning for retirement, which I'm sure that statistic gives you angst. But
yeah, no, I understand. Well, and I'll give you a great example. My middle daughter, she's 9 years old. She fell off her bike and broke her arm. And so down to the doctor we went, and you know, then we went to another doctor and made sure that we got a proper diagnosis. And so there was an expense that is a 1 minute she's on her bike, 1 minute she's not. And these things happen. And so, you know, you've got to be prepared for that. Gail, let me do this. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back. Gail Cunningham is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org. Right back after this quick break.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Gail Cunningham is back on the program with me, Vice President of Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org. So, Gail, you guys have come up with a recommended implementation. It's like a three-step program. Instead of, you know, using that tax refund as a kind of a forced savings, you've got a three-step program that you've developed. Let's walk through that.
I think that it's time to break the cycle. If
okay.
you're one of those who typically receives an income tax refund, I hope you've listened to me. It's your choice. You can have more money in your pocket every month, or you can give it to Uncle Sam. So, if you get a refund this year, I'm suggesting that upon receipt of that refund, seize this opportunity to establish your emergency savings account. If you've already got an emergency savings account, add to it, because this protects you against the financial unknown, such as your daughter falling
right.
off the bicycle. And, you know, that trip to the emergency room cost you money.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to suggest that you probably have health insurance.
I do. But if I didn't, that would even compound my problem.
Exactly. But those with health insurance, this is an unexpected, unplanned expense.
And we've all got deductibles to meet, right?
Yep. Exactly.
And let me mention real quick before you go on to the next step, Gail, that one of the things that people need to be clear about is what is an emergency? You know, buying a flat screen TV is not an emergency. Okay, paying for the trip to the hospital is the emergency, or a flat tire, or a rock through a window, or some other real air conditioning breaks. Those are emergencies. But
you're exactly
yeah.
right, and I think that's one of the silver linings to having been through a rough patch these last few years, is that people have stepped back and realized that they were living large and maybe irresponsibly spending their money, thinking the piper would never come for his payment, and they are being have a much more measured approach.
That's a wonderful silver lining. You know, we always try to take good out of difficult periods.
Sure. And I think that's going on. So once you've got that rainy day emergency cushion, and you take that deep breath because, gee, that feels good.
Oh, yeah.
Then go on and, as we've discussed, adjust your W-4. We've already talked about that. And so that's moving forward then. You're going to receive the larger paycheck each month. So then what are you going to do with that money?
This is a good part.
Yeah, there you go. The money that's now going to the government is coming to you in the form of a larger paycheck. And again, it's your responsibility to make smart decisions regarding how to spend it. So at the NFCC, our member agencies, and by the way, there are about 750
wow.
physical locations across the country.
I love that.
We teach to make it a priority to keep your home life stable. And how do you do that? With your first money, you pay your living expenses, such mm-hmm. as your rent or mortgage, utilities, insurance premiums, gas in the car, medicine purchase, child care payments, current, etc. Then your next most important payment is any secured loan, and for most folks, that's going to be their vehicle payment. So you don't want that car to be repossessed, can't get to work, you're throwing away money you've already put as a down payment, monthly payment you've made.
Very good.
Nothing good about having your car repossessed. And then the next most important payments are those debts such as credit cards. They're unsecured debts.
Right.
And then if all those ducks are in a row, then I want you to each month, if you've had to pull out of that savings account for a true emergency, then replenish it with the next paycheck
mm-hmm.
until you're back on top of things. We'd like to see at least 1 month's income in the bank for the emergency fund, the rainy day fund.
That's great. And I'll tell you what, I've taken it one more step, Gail, with that I tend to be a little even more conservative, and I don't, you know, not necessarily a 3 to 6 month, because those are rules of thumb. I like your idea of a 1 month at least. Beyond that, what people really I want them to do, because everybody's situation is different, is be thinking about what could go wrong in your own personal situation. What if if you live in a condo on the beach, what could go wrong? If you live in a home, if you live in an apartment, if you live wherever, if you whatever your situation is, think about the things that can go wrong that might require you to come up with money. And I kind of call it a collection of calamities. You know, let's let's assume a bunch of them happen. And what would that cost? I've had people say, well, golly, I just hate having that cash money sitting there, David. And I say, you know what? Because they said the next breath is it's not making any money. And I always remind them that, in fact, the interest you don't earn is the premium you pay to have that money available when you need it. That's just the cost of having it there.
Well, you make a very good point. And I'm the type of person that compartmentalizes things. And so I've already built a case for that rainy day emergency fund. I am 100% behind you with your calamity fund. And for most people, as they have sadly learned in recent years, the biggest calamity is job loss. That's where that other fund comes into play. And lots of times people ask me, well, why 3 to 6 months? Well,
yeah.
That's a big difference in money. It is highly likely if you're a two-income family that both of you aren't going to lose your job at the same time.
Sure, sure.
But if you're a one-income family, then you need to be more on the six-month side of things, because back in the day, we used to use the formula that it took you 1 month to replace every $10,000 of lost income. Well, that means it would take you 5 months to find a new job if you were making $50,000 a year annually. Well, guess what? The latest figures I've seen are people go without replacing their job 9 months. Ouch.
Mm-mm.
That's really so daunting to tell someone on ground zero that I want you to sock away 9 months
yeah.
of the income. So start small is better than not starting at all, but get it done.
Amen to that. Gail Cunningham is our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take one more quick break. We'll be right back.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
And we are back with Gail Cunningham. She's with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. If you've never been to their website, you must go, nfcc.org. A lot of great information. And if you're looking for some financial guidance and you need some counseling and how to budget and do some other things like that, there's a whole host of information on their website. And then they also, as Gail mentioned earlier in the program, have over 700 local agencies that can work with you. And the cost, Gail?
There's usually no charge for counseling. A few of our agencies do charge a fee for counseling. It's about $20. But if it's a hardship case, one of our member standards is that no service will be denied based on an inability to pay. So there should be no barrier in someone reaching out for help.
And, of course, I knew that. That's why I threw that ball right across the middle of the plate. So, Gail, we've got just about a minute. Well, we're running out of time. I love having you on the program. I think the message is that you've shared with people today, it's inspiring. And, there are credit counseling opportunities. There are things people can do to take more control over their finances. And the thing I also want people to know, whether they're at the top, the bottom, and the middle, there are always going to be stresses, and it's taking the deliberate steps like you've shared today that can help people get through that.
Let me give your listeners one more nudge to adjust their W-4. Remember, your paycheck's already smaller this year due to the Social Security deduction being increased to its former level. You want to beef up that paycheck again? Adjust your W-4.
Yep, nudge it back the other way.
Yep.
Okay, Gail. Gail Cunningham, ladies and gentlemen, Vice President, Membership and Public Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, nfcc.org. Gail, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you. Already looking forward to next time.
Sounds great.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.